I've been preaching on the kingdom of God, and the Lord stopped me because he said, you were having a difficult time understanding it. And then he said, because their faith level is not where it should be, because you have to have faith to believe what Jesus said about the kingdom of God is in you and everything that appertains to. So the Lord has given me, he said, step back for a minute and talk a little bit more about faith. Say faith. Faith. Amen. Now, this is not a message for today. I'm going to preach it until the Holy Spirit says, now go back and talk about the kingdom of God. Fair enough? As I woke this morning and I was in my office just praying, the Holy Ghost said something to me, if I could give it as a prelude to what we're going to share this morning. I began to think about where we are in history, where we are in time. And the words came into my spirit that we're in the last days. And then I had a correction by the Holy Spirit, which kind of like startled me for a second, but then I understood it because I did a little research this morning. He said, you are no longer living in the last days, you are living in the last moments, because there is an intensity, an intensifying of everything that we've read in the Bible for years and known our generation before us knew it. These are the last days. We could see all those things happening. But now the intensity level has increased to a point where we're ushering in Jesus Christ. And that's going to change the seconds real quick. All right? So what I did was pull some things that you don't mind, do you? I pulled out some scripture. And what was interesting, that is in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, they give descriptions of things that will take place in the last day. So I pulled out some of these things. You can just listen. Fair enough? So listen to what it says. Widespread deception. Well, I don't see any deception. You don't. Say it's everywhere. Signs in the heavens. Economic instability. It's intensified. Great seismic activity. There are earthquakes every year in every state of the Union and around the globe. Seismic activity will increase. This is the one I like the best as I went and did a little research. Warring political systems. Our country and everywhere else, everybody is warring against everyone else. They're supposed to be representing us, but instead they're not. Amen? Because the enemy's got in there. Famines, wars, persecution, pestilence, ethnic conflicts. We've heard about ethnic cleansing. It goes on. We don't even realize it. Persecution of Christians, and in some places, it's actually become legal. Say legal. Hey, it's legal. Turn to your neighbor and say, uh-oh. Imprisonment of believers. We know that's going on. We've heard about it and we've seen it. Fearful sights. How many times do we, another shooting in another school, in a private school, in a place you would never expect it, and no one can understand it. The false prophets will rise, and they're all over the place. Be careful if your favorite preacher is preaching and you love them and you'll always listen to them, but if they start sounding a little bit different and they start going off the deep end, if you don't mind me saying so, be careful as to what you hear. When your preacher starts preaching more about grace than about just what the Word says, many times what they're doing is covering up their lifestyle. Can't tell you some things I know because it's not my point, not my place to do, but I'm telling you, be careful who you listen to, even your favorite preachers. The love of many, the Bible says, will go wax cold. Say wax cold. What does that mean? That means Jesus said we need to love everybody. The Bible says this, that if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. Jesus said that. But the love of many has grown so wax cold that we can't forgive people like we're supposed to. How many, without raising your hand, have something or somebody in your life in the past, maybe right now, where you cannot forgive them or it's difficult to forgive them? Just take a second. Don't raise your hand. Is there someone that you can't forgive? Or if you see him in the store, you walk down the other aisle. That's unforgiveness. Here's what I want you to do, because the Holy Ghost is bringing that conviction on you right now. You bow your heads right where you are. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to forgive you for your unforgiveness towards, and mention that person's name, and God's going to release something supernatural in you. It's like you're taking a heavy weight off of you. If Jesus said, if you don't forgive, my Father can't forgive you. Oh boy, when you take communion, the Bible says, make sure there's nothing between you and someone else. I've had people come up during communion and said, Pastor, forgive me. I was thinking this and that of you. You were forgiven before you even thought the thing, because love never keeps track of the wrong. If there's more than one person, go ahead and mention them by name. If you question, well, possibilities are the same. Amen? There's truth and there are lies. And then right in the middle, there's another thing. Amen? So ask God to forgive you right now. Hallelujah. Some of you are having a hard time letting go of that. It's been so long in there, you got to dig the thing out. But the help of the Holy Ghost is taking place right now. And don't use the excuse, well, you don't know what they did to me. No, but I know what they did to Jesus, and that's nothing like they've done to you or me. That's digging deep now. Amen? I want you to be set free. It's all about being set free. Say, set free. Some of you look like you're like a deer in headlights over here. You got to let go. Some of you are not letting go. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, I can see it. Say, God, help me to forgive. Now, who has done that just now? Raise your hand. What's happened since you've done that? Talk to me. Big sigh of relief. Somebody else. What's that? Freedom. Inner peace. You have peace. What's that? Really made you mad. It's gone now. Never again will it take place in your life. Is it a relative? Yeah. A lot of times it is. That's going to be gone now. Will you see the relative during the holidays? You'll be the first one there to greet them when they walk in the door. And they'll look at you like, uh-oh, but you got set free. See, no law. See, unforgiveness builds a wall around you and I. And we imprison ourselves. How many of you like prison? When we first started the prison ministry out so many years ago, and one of the first ones I went to was Dannemora. I still have the images of Dannemora preached in there many times. And when I got to the city, you drive down the center of the town, there's stores on one side and this huge wall, the prison, Dannemora. And then when you go in and they shut that cell door behind you, triggers a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. You understand what I'm saying to you? I know what it's like to be on the inside of a prison, but not to stay there. I wouldn't want to stay there. Unforgiveness will keep you a prisoner. I've had to deal with what I just asked you to do many times in my life. Being a pastor, I've been imprisoned by what people have said to me. But I also learned how to Teflon myself so when people speak words to me, I don't receive them. I don't receive that, man. No, that's not the truth. Amen. Somebody else who got set free just now as we prayed. Yes. Good. Glory to God. Lift both hands up, honey. You're set free. You're set free. Yeah, you're set free. You know how you're set free is what I just said over here, is when you see somebody again after that, your arms are open, amen, to receive what God's done in your life. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say, I'm claiming that right now in Jesus' name. Say it out loud. I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Amen. So listen to me. Let's talk a little bit more about faith. Can we do that? To get faith, understand this principle if you can, that faith isn't something God gives you. Faith is something we work out. God gave us the manual. Now we have to work the manual out. And how do we work the manual out? We work it by speaking words out of our mouth. Amen? So say the book, the Word of God. I'm going to give you five things about the Word. Are you ready? And I'm going to give you a scripture to support it. Preached this years ago, and the Holy Spirit said, preach it again. First of all, concerning the Word of God, which brings faith, is this. It's indestructible. Say, the Word of God is indestructible. Say it again, indestructible. Listen to what Matthew 24:35 says. Heaven and earth, as now known, will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Say, my words will never pass away. So what God has said in the Logos, in the Word of God, is always going to be here with us. Amen? When the Bible said that the Word of God is sharper than any what? Two-edged sword, and we preach this. Two-edged means, literally in the Greek language, two-mouth. Go like this. Forked tongue. Two mouths. One side of the sword is the Logos. Say Logos. What's the Logos? The written word. Say the written word. What's the Rhema? The spoken word. Amen? So if you have you got to put antifreeze in your car, and here's the antifreeze in a container, that's the Logos. But unless you take the cap off and put the antifreeze in the vehicle, that isn't going to work. So unless you load your mouth up with the Word of God and speak it by faith, it's going to be useless. It'll just sit there idle. Amen? Say glory to God. I think I got that one. Here's another thing. It's incorruptible. The word of God is incorruptible. Say incorruptible. Here's what 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25 says. For you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed. Say, I've been transformed spiritually. That is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed. Listen, renewed and set apart for his purpose. So why are we here? We're here for the purpose of loving God, amen? And to tell others about Jesus Christ. My wife and I have claimed our cul-de-sac for Jesus. When I shook that man's hand about a year ago, and the Lord healed him, now I'm known as, oh, Paul heals people. All I did was reach my hand out the car window and said, how are you doing? And he said, something went through him, and God supernaturally healed a blood disease in his life. Say, glory to God. Well, how come it was that day? I was just on my way to Walmart. But why that particular day and not some other day? Can I give you my answer? Who cares? Remember when Jesus raised that young man up and then he started asking questions? Well, did you sin? Was it your parents? He says, I could care less. I'm walking. Are you kidding me? Say glory. Glory. Say incorruptible. And set apart for his purpose, not of seed, which is perishable. If you put a seed in the ground, what do you get? Always get a harvest. Say, always get a harvest. If you put good seed in, what kind of a harvest will you get back? Good. If you put a bad seed out, what are you going to get back? Say something bad. Whatever you put out of your mouth and my mouth, it's going to grow. Say, it's going to grow. Not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable, immortal. So say the word of God is imperishable. Incorruptible. Listen to what it says. My. That is through the living and everlasting word of God. Say everlasting word of God. This doesn't change. We were having a discussion about a week ago and some came in my spirit and I said, you know what? Everybody who tells a lie always gets upset and uptight when you bring the truth. Have you ever noticed that? You bring the truth and what happens? They get all upset. Because lies don't give you peace. You put somebody like that in the stand, and guess what happens? They can't remember what they said the last time, so they have to make up something new for this time. So if somebody says to me, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for your sins? Yes. How sure are you of it? Because the Word of God tells me that. If you ask me that question, I'll tell you the same answer every time. I don't have to defend the Word of God. It defends itself. But people that are talking lies, hello, and living lies are always on the defense trying to defend their point. And listen, you cannot defend a lie. It falls apart every time. As soon as, say this with me, as soon as the truth shows up, say it out loud, as soon as the truth shows up, lies are exposed. Somebody asked me before church, did you ever think you would see where we are today in your lifetime? No way in the world. I would have said, no, there's something wrong with you. But now I see it coming to pass in my lifetime, and I'm seeing an acceleration of it without any question. Our generations before said, I believe Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. I got news for you. I know he's coming back in my lifetime. There's no question about it. Listen to the rest of the scripture verse. It's incorruptible. All flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. How many of you notice that happens? But the word of the Lord, say the word of the Lord. Say it again, the word of the Lord endures forever. Let me stop there for a minute. The Holy Ghost just interrupted me. This is what the enemy is trying to keep you from. I have a book called Addicted to Busyness. We are so addicted to just being busy, we're negating the one thing that will save us. Say, my spiritual man needs to get fed. How many of you looked in the mirror lately? More than a headshot. But have you noticed that clothes sometimes don't fit you even when you suck it in? Then you have somebody who can go to the feeding trough and eat everything three times over and they don't gain a pound. You walk by the cake and you gain 3 pounds. How many of you know things change? Our spirit man needs to be fed. Lean. This word is lean, man. It gets right to the point. Amen. All right, let me go a little bit further. I'm going to get a little something out of this. So the word of the Lord does what? Endures for how long? Forever. Say it again, forever. And this is the word, the good news of salvation, which was preached to you. Glory. How will they know, the Bible says, unless a preacher tells them? So the preacher's telling you this morning. Amen? Aren't you happy? Three people. Anyway, moving right along. Here's another of the INs. Indispensable. Say indispensable. First, what do we have? It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. Now it's indispensable. Matthew 4:4 in the Amplified. But Jesus replied, "It is written, and forever remains, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Say, out of the mouth of God. So what is he saying? You can live, your natural body can live by just bread alone, but say the spirit man, say it with me, the spirit man comes out of the word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is already here. Say, here it is. I still remember the time when I was in the military and we were going to a class, and the sergeant came in and said, "All right, all leaves have been canceled." Oh, God, I don't want to be here. I remember the first day I was there, I said, "I'm your mommy. You don't got no mommy no more. I'm your mommy." I want to go home. And when he said that, all leaves have been canceled. And he said, "Russia has just attacked the United States of America, so we're going to have to hurry things up because we're probably going to go to war." And we're all talking like, "And I'm going to get married when I go back home. Oh, my God." Then all of a sudden, here's what the sergeant said. "Welcome to propaganda class." And I still remember that till this day. See, the enemy wants to scare us with his words. But when you realize you're in a propaganda class, you don't take the words of anything but the word of God. His word, say his word, will what? Remain forever. And every word that comes out of the mouth of God will establish you and I spiritually. Say spiritually. Without raising a hand, how many of us know that we are not giving our spirit man enough time? My wife and I take communion every day, and it does something in our relationship. If you're not married, you're single. If you're married, fine, whatever the case, take communion every day. Whatever, you don't have any juice, I've used orange juice and some other things along the way. Amen? Now we ordered little cups with everything already in them. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Say glory to God. Say, take communion every day. Say, take communion every day. Say it again. I'm taking communion every day. Glory to God. How many of you know it's going to work and help your relationship even better? Glory to God. Say it works. Here's another one. Are you ready? Infallible. Say infallible. This is the word now. Matthew 5:18 says this. "For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of the pen will pass from the law until all things which it foreshadows are accomplished." Everything God said will be accomplished, will be accomplished. I like when I came in, my youngest usher, Matt. "Grandpa, how are you this morning?" "Good, good." "Look," he said, "the moon is out already." "Hon, you have those scripture verses? Got a microphone? You ready to do it? If not, I'll do it in the next step." Say inexhaustible. Psalm 92:5 says this. "How great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep beyond man's understanding." See, beyond our understanding. When Israel came to the Jordan, which means this place looks like death, what did they have to do? They had to have courage to take a step in. Amen? And it was at flood stage. Sometimes you and I have to take a step into what looks like death in order to see the supernatural power of God working. Amen? Go ahead, hon.
We'll give thanks. This is Psalm 136. The title of this psalm is called "A Litany of God's Wonders." "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks unto the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters, to him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to him who divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the giant of Bashan. Those words mean Sihon is rooting out and Bashan is a giant. And gave their land for a heritage, even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, who remembers us in our low estate, who has redeemed us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever.
Say hallelujah. See how powerful the word of God is? You're having devotions, you read that psalm, all of a sudden your spirit man feels lifted up. Am I right? Say glory to God. Now, two more left. Are you ready to hear the next one? Wow, I like this stuff. Glory to God. Why the word of God? I'm going to give you three more things. Are you ready? First of all, the word of God is purposed and planned by God for us. Say purposed and planned. Listen to what again the word says. I keep just saying what the word says. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. By the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent his only one begotten Son. The one is truly unique. Say the unique Son of God. Wow. The only one. So that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be an example and a propitiation, that is the anointing, an atoning sacrifice that satisfies all other offerings for our sins, the fulfillment of God's requirement for justice against sin. My God, say that's what Jesus did for us. Here's two more for you. The word of God accomplished by the Son. See, the word of God has already been accomplished by the Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love reading the scriptures. Hallelujah. Verses 3 and 4. For I passed on to you as the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Say, he died for my sins. He has no remembrance. Listen, the Bible said he has no remembrance of our past. Say, no remembrance. There's no need to look over your shoulder. There's no need to talk about what you were. There's no need to talk about mistakes you've made in life. He doesn't remember them. Say he doesn't remember them. Yeah, but what I did, was he doesn't remember them. He looks at you now. He looks at me now. We are not a bad person. We never were a bad person. We were just lost and wandering around in wilderness until Jesus came along and forgave us of our sins. Say hallelujah, glory to God. Do you sometimes have your past knock on your door? Don't answer it. Get one of those doorbells with a camera in it. Can you talk through those things too? Can you? I'm going to get one. Do you have to open the door? How many of you do open the door? Don't. I opened the door one time to the Kirby salesman. I didn't need a vacuum cleaner, but he gave me such a sob story about his family going hungry and all. And I got to call the office 3 or 4 times. Well, can we do it for this? All right. And then he took the magic bullet and he got the vacuum cleaner and went over my mattress. That clean white, how many of you had that done? Clean white thing. This is what's on your mattress. All this dead skin. I got to have one. My wife will tell you, I'm a sucker for these things. That's why we don't open our door anymore. When I was in college, she was in college in Pennsylvania. The Storky diaper man came to my door. See, back then, there were no Pampers. I lived in, you know, Civil War time, right? So there was no throwaway Pampers. It was, you know, so they brought them to your house. So my wife came home, and she looked on the table. What's this here? Oh, I ordered some diapers. She looked at me and said, we don't have any kids. But he was so convincing. Well, see, if you can be convincing and tell them to come and get this stuff. Glory to God. Do you understand? Don't open the door. If you don't have a need for diapers, here's a magic word for you. Say no. How many have a hard time saying no? I feel like Moses. God, your people. He said, no, they're your people. You take care of them. Everybody say this, no.
No.
When the enemy comes around and gets into your head and tries to tell you something that's a lie, don't say no, thank you. Just say no, and then put a scripture verse right behind it. It's like pushing a broom and pushing all the junk out. Say glory.
Glory.
Get rid of it. Doesn't belong in your spiritual house. Amen. The Spirit of God reveals the Word of God. Say the Spirit of God. That's why it's important to have that relationship we've been preaching on for years with the Holy Spirit. I can't do everything of my own, but I realize the Holy Spirit can help me in any and every way. So the Holy Spirit, listen to me, reveals the Word of God to us. Say, reveals it.
Yes.
Amen. Listen now. John chapter 16, verses 7 and verse 9 says it this way. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, you know what an advocate is? It's a lawyer. He never lost a case. Jesus can't ever lose a case. The Holy Ghost can't ever lose a case. Are you understanding that now? I told you about our lawyer. We had dealings around the property. People are stealing stuff, sand and all that stuff. And he came, and the first thing he said to the lawyer of the other guys, did you bring your checkbook? I still remember that in the kitchen. He says, why are you always so sure, Frank, that he said, because I never lose. And I said, that's the Holy Ghost. He never loses. Just bring your checkbook, devil, because you're going to have to pay for this. Amen. Glory to God. And Jesus made him pay by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But if I don't leave, the strengthener counselor standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Ghost, to you to be in close fellowship with you. And he, say he, the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's a pronoun. He's identified by a pronoun. So he had that already in mind before the rest of the troops showed up. See, if somebody asks me, I do. It's the I am lives in me. And after they scratch their head a few times, I can pray for them. Amen. Glory to God. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world about the guilt of sin and the need for a Savior, about righteousness and about judgment, about sin and the true nature of it, because they do not believe in me and they do not believe in my message. Amen. Now, let's go to finish up here. Go over to John chapter 20 real quick. John chapter 20. This is about a man named Thomas was his name. I remember Thomas. You've always heard people say, oh, doubting Thomas. Yeah, doubting Thomas. Listen to verses 24 through 29. But when Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came the first time. So the other disciples kept telling him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, his marks made by the nails, and put my finger into his nail prints, and put on my hand into his side, I will never believe it. I will never believe it. I will never believe it. There's two kinds of faith. Say two kinds of faith. Head faith, that's Thomas kind of faith, or heart faith, and that's Abraham kind of faith. Amen? If we get stuck in the head faith, then it'll always be through our sense realm that we have to see God do his things. Doesn't work that way. It'll always collapse all the way around you. Listen to it now. 8 days later, listen, this is good stuff now. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors. I'm going to get one of them glorified bodies. Maybe Jesus was there all along and Thomas didn't recognize. I don't know. Isn't that cool? Could he have done something like that? Yeah, he was walking with the two men on the road to Emmaus. You know, what's going on, guys? He knew what was going on, all right? I think Jesus had a sense of humor. He didn't have any jokes as good as mine, but I think he had a sense of humor. Jesus came, though they were behind closed doors, and stood among them and said, peace to you. Listen now how this unfolds. Then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and see my hand. Well, how did he know all this stuff? In the spirit realm, you know everything, man. Yeah, I don't think he was in a room. I just think he knows things by the same Holy Ghost we can know him by. He said, Thomas, reach out your finger here. See my hands. Put your hand in place of it in my side. Do not be, listen now, do not be faithless. We can be faithless. If we stay in the sense realm, we can wind up being faithless instead of full of faith. Head faith will make you and I faithless. But stop your unbelief and start believing. Say your unbelief. Doubt and unbelief will take you and I out spiritually. Say doubt and unbelief will take us out. Fair enough? Listen to what it says now. This is you and I. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." See, some people have to have things in their eyeballs before they believe God. But how much do we know? It's not seeing is believing, it's believing is seeing. Say, believing is seeing. Say it again, believing is seeing. Say it again, believing is seeing. What was Thomas? If I see it, then I'll believe it. It doesn't work that way. It puts a big X and says, God, if you don't do it this way, I'm not going to do it. No, it doesn't happen. Say, I see it in the spirit before it ever comes to pass. You're on 18-plus acres of land here with a church and supporting buildings and everything that we had no money to do. I find out that if God tells me to do something, he expects me to exercise my faith. God doesn't just give us faith. He expects us to work our faith muscles and develop it by the word of God. Say, by the word of God. Say, by the word of God. Say, by the word of God. Say it again, by the word. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, Thomas, do you now believe, trust, and have faith? Blessed and happy to be envied are those who have never seen me and yet have believed, adhered to, and trusted, and relied on me. How many of you have seen Jesus? Nobody. How were your sins forgiven? By the shed blood of Jesus. But see, you and I have never seen it. See, that tells me you and I were exercising faith in somebody we've never seen, but yes, I did see him. Yes, I did see him. Say, I did see him. I see him every day. I open the word of God up and I read a scripture verse. I find the Holy Ghost takes it and causes it to explode on the inside of me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Present tense, hearing and hearing and hearing. Saying hearing and hearing over and over and over and over again. Listen to me. The greatest preachers you can ever listen to will not substitute you and I saying the word of God out of our mouths. So we can hear it, because that'll build supernatural faith in your life. You sometimes can't get the preacher in the middle of the night. You can't get him because he's in a different time slot. They've moved him. You don't have to wait around for that. You are a minister in yourself, the Bible says, and you can begin to speak the word of God and see the same results that we've seen in the word of God. Say hallelujah. These signs follow them that believe. How many of you are believers? Then there should be something going on behind you and I. Fair enough? All right, let's go just two more scriptures. Fair enough? You also, there are other many signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. What did Jesus do? Perform many other miracles, but they're not written. Hang on to that now. Let's look at the last verse and then move one more verse and we're going home. But these are written and recorded that you may believe in Jesus Christ. So the ones we have written in the Gospels are there. Why? So that we could believe. How many things do you need in order for you to believe? See, some people need something, and then we need something else, and Jesus will show up, and 10 millenniums later, they'll still be asking for something that's too late. All I needed to do one day is heard somebody say that Jesus Christ died for my sins, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and if you want to accept him as Lord and Savior, you can. I didn't say, where is he? I want to see him and talk to him myself. Something rose on the inside of me called faith. Say faith. And you reached out and accepted a Savior you'd never seen before. You say, I've never seen him, but I think I do know who he is. Am I right? Where is he? He's on the inside of us. Say, he's on the inside of us. Say it aloud. He's on the inside of us. The Son of God, and that through believing and cleaving to and trusting and relying upon him, you may have life through and in his name. You and I can have what? Say life. All right. The Lord just dropped another scripture verse, then we're going. Fair enough? Go over to, we're in John. Aren't we nice? Go over to John 10 real quick. Then I got one more at the end of John and we'll go home. Fair enough? John 10:10. How many of you know John 10:10? This describes it. This is Jesus talking. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. So now we have what the enemy does. What does he do? Steal, kill, and destroy. And what it'll do sometimes is steal the words that come out of our mouth and speak them against us. Are you ready? But listen to what Jesus is saying. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Say life. Not say not existence. Living a life. Huh? And have it, listen, in abundance to the full till it's overflowing. Remember what I've been talking to you about? It's not enough just to be filled, but the overflowing needs to start happening as we move from the last days to the last minutes. Now, in your Bibles, one verse here, the end of the Gospel of John. Say the end. All the way at the end. John chapter 21, 25. This one here you need to remember. Say John 21, 25. Say it out loud, 21, 25. Are you ready? And there are also many other things which Jesus did. If they should be all recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain or have room for the books that would have to be written. This is just a few pages in the Gospels. Then the book of Acts opens up. And one thing about the book of Acts, listen, there is no amen at the end of the book of Acts. Say there's no amen. What does amen mean? So be it, it's done. No amen because you and I, say you and I, are the book of Acts in the day we're living in. I'm going to prophesy to you the opportunities that you and I have missed during the course of last week, God's going to give us all over again. We're going to see the opportunities, and the Holy Ghost is going to say, this person I want you to pray for. I want you to go over here and talk to this person. I want you to lead this person to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to be definite without any question, and we're going to be obedient and step into the Jordan. We had a professor named Walter Butler. Remember him? I talked about him enough times. He was a missionary overseas. At one time, he was in an airport, and the airplane was just about to take off, and Brother Butler heard the Spirit say, go over and talk to that man in the trench coat and tell him Jesus loves him, lead him to the Lord. He says, I can't because they just announced my flight. And there was an argument going on between him and the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden over the loudspeaker came this. We don't understand, but for some reason a fog has suddenly, this is true now, settled over the airport and we have no planes coming in or taking off. And the Holy Ghost said, you're going to go now? He went over, led the man to the Lord. Went over, sat down where he was. We don't understand this, but suddenly that fog that came in has just lifted. And he snickered and laughed because he knew better. You and I know better. When the voice of the Spirit of God speaks to us, let's do what he says. Let's by faith step into the Jordan and see him parted before us. Amen. If you've been listening to this or watching it somehow on the internet, television, shortwave radio, listening to it anywhere around the world, and you're hearing this man named Jesus loves you unconditionally, will do anything for you. He proved that by going to the old rugged cross and dying in our place. Our sins are no longer a part of us. If you'd like to know the same Jesus, the same person who died on your behalf and shed his blood, Harvest Church, let's stand. Let's all welcome this new group of folks into the kingdom of God. We're not going to see these folks here, but in heaven we will. Everybody say this with me. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life, changing me from the inside out. This day, I surrender my life to you, and now I can call you Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Now, if you don't go to church, start finding a good one that preaches the word. Find out the pastor's vision. Help him and support him in any way you can. If you don't have a Bible, go find a good Bible. Start reading it on a daily basis, and God will bless you and prosper you in Jesus' name. Amen.